Hi, and welcome everybody to another episode of China on the Rocks, the podcast where we talk about the F&B industry and everything in the in-between. My name is Logan. I'm joined by my awesome co-host.
Hi guys, Anna here.
Hey Anna, what you wearing today?
Both of us are wearing kind of the same. We have a uniform here. We're both wearing tiki shirts.
Tiki shirts, Hawaiian shirts, whatever they may be called. We look very fresh in this chill October weather.
Fun fact, I'm wearing a shirt that Logan ordered for himself.
Yep. I ordered these shirts. I was just telling Anna on our off-stage, off-mic pitter-patter that the shirt I'm wearing, I bought three shirts the same size from the same vendor, and only one shirt fit me from Taobao. And those of my friends here that live in China, you know, Taobao is very different on Western sizes.
Yeah, the sizes are kind of just a reference. They don't really match. I'm sometimes a 5XL and sometimes an extra small. I never know.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a dice game when you get to your clothes.
I literally just bought a jacket for Halloween, a leather jacket, and like a cheap one, like for the costume. And it was an M, which is my normal size if I go to Europe or the US, M, medium. Okay, all good. And then I had to buy a shirt that was 4XL.
Yeah, wow.
And it's a tight shirt. It's just because of the sizing. But yeah, fun.
So are you one of those Halloween people? Like, do you like make your own costumes and stuff like that? What do you do?
Yeah, I gotta say, I thrive on Halloween. It's my time to shine because I love doing face painting.
Yeah.
And I got really good over the years. Like you've seen.
Yeah, well, we did Rocky Horror Picture over at Logan. Rocky Picture.
Yes.
Logan's Punch. And yeah, you did the face painting and it was ridiculously good.
Yeah, but it was still like I was my newbie stage. Now I got like proper face paint and I got really good. So I did this really realistic stuff. So this year I prepare one of my most ambitious costumes so far, which I think, to be fair, I think it's a winning one. I think if I go to competitions, I would definitely win.
Yeah.
And you end up being pretty cheap. So I'm doing a female Ghost Rider, like Johnny Blaze Ghost Rider.
Very cool.
So I'll describe the costume for people at home. I got leather pants,
mm-hmm.
the belts and all that, my boots. I always have boots. And then I got a leather corset with zippers and chains on it. I got a leather jacket. I got the gloves. And I'm making my face and body as like a skull with like red fiery background, fully painted. And then I have a wig that I got that is orange and yellow and like fire looking. And I got little LED lights in it. So it's actually flaming.
Wow.
And I'm going to dress up my scooter as the motorcycle.
Oh, very cool.
And I got LED lights to put under my scooter. So it's red. So it looks like it's flaming under it.
Oh, wow.
And I'm getting it for the wheels. So I'm driving around in my little Vespa type of scooter, but it's dressed up as the motorcycle. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that police report, Whitney.
I like driving around. Yeah, it's not looking good.
Driving woman. Go.
This is why I'm worried about this cold makeup.
No, not that. It's funny, the scooter with all the lights on it.
Yeah.
The decorated scooter is going to be
funny. But it's going to be like, you know how people have those cars? It's like low riders with like LEDs underneath. It's going to be like that. So it's technically not illegal. It's just going to be really
super
showy.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. I think it's going to be fun. I've always worked on Halloween, but I've never really put any ounce of effort to a costume.
Okay.
I've done nothing. Like, I like making jello shots and I like interacting with random people dressed as random people. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. To be fair, when I worked, I'm on a break right now. I'm not working. So for me, it will be one of my first Halloweens to actually celebrate. Because usually when I'm working, I also just choose like more of a movie character or something that's easy to pull off. Maybe I just have to buy a shirt and that's it. And then I kind of just do like a simple costume. Because one, the comfort of working, you don't want to be like with like stuff all over you, but also just the time and you're tired and it's going to be a busy night. So usually I'm pretty low effort, but when I have a chance like this, I've been preparing for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're going to have a time to shine together in next week.
Yeah.
Next week on the 31st, we're going to be doing a guest shift together.
Okay, hold on. I have a discussion about this. So let's first have our shot.
Shot.
Cheers. What are we drinking, Logan?
We are drinking tequila it's an añejo tequila, and it's from a black skull. It's a really cool bottle.
The bottle is really cool.
The bottle's beautiful. I'll send a picture. It's called KAH, and it's really cool tequila brand. And the juice inside is not too bad. It's a little sweeter. Yeah, it's a little sweeter, but the bottling is very, very Day of the Dead.
It's one of those, I hate to say this, I don't know the brand, I don't know the guys behind it, but it's one of those brands that I would buy more for the bottle. I don't even care what's inside. I want this in my house.
Yeah.
When it's empty, I want to put some black roses out of it, like some flowers.
Exactly. No, I mean, this is a totally on brand for Tacalicious, you know? It's very, very cool. But what were you going to say? What was your discussion?
Okay, I have a discussion and I'm interested in picking your brain. So for the people back home, back in the US or Europe, I don't know how is the schedule over there. But what really, I had discussions with other people, including Ben, shout out to The High, is a local dive bar here. Halloween this year is on a Thursday, right? The 31st. So it makes sense for me that people would celebrate the following day, Friday the 1st or Sunday the 2nd.
Yes.
But in Shanghai, the events are very split. Half of them are on the 1st and 2nd. And the other half on the weekend before, so the 25th, 26th, right? But I feel like celebrating on the 26th is too early. It feels to me like too early. And then I asked, because The High is making their party on 26th. So I asked them, why are you doing on the 26th? And obviously, I understand the Saturday is better because people are going to put the effort on the costume so they don't have to work. All good. But why a week before? And then he told me it's because the 2nd, which will be the next Saturday, is November. So for a lot of people, him included, Halloween needs to still be in October. It's like an October holiday, so it has to be in October. Yeah. So they're doing before. But I feel like it's one of those rules that you celebrate before if Halloween is up to Wednesday, like middle of the week.
Mm-hmm.
If it's past hump day, it's the next weekend.
Yeah.
Right? At least that's my rule for events. If Christmas is on a Thursday and you want to do a weekend event, you do after. You don't do a week before.
See, that's a tough one because a lot of places, Christmas is a national holiday.
I'm saying for places they're not, right?
Yeah.
Like here.
Yeah. I mean, like for New Year's Eve, it could be whatever day it wants to be because you're off the next day. That's a national holiday in China. Like for us, because Tacalicious, we're like a day walker. We straddle the world. And so like I'm allowed to do it on the weekend of the 1st and 2nd of November and call it Dias de la Muertes.
Yeah, because it's Dia de los Muertos and also, yeah. But
we had a serious conversation about if we were going to do it before or after. And there's a lot of parties on the weekend before, like this weekend coming up. And so we're like, well, that's not, you know, that's be above.
No, I understand for a Mexican place because you can like mix with the Dia de los Muertos and that would work for anyone. But I think more for, let's say, places that don't have any affiliation to any Latin culture, right? I feel like if it was me, I would still do on the 2nd because it's 2 days after Halloween versus 5 days before. Like, I just...
I get your conundrum.
Yeah. And it's weirding me out because what happened this year, which is a little disappointing, is that the parties are split. So for me, that puts a lot of effort on costumes. I don't want to do it twice.
So for me, who's got a wraparound Wolverine costume, very easy.
Yeah, but mine is not easy. So I don't want to do it twice, so I'm kind of like, which day do I dress up, like the big one?
Well, at the Tacalicious party, of course.
Oh, that for sure, but I can also do a different costume, right? Like I'm
you're
really...
a costume kind of girl.
No, but because I do face painting, I can kind of just come up with it and then wear other clothes, right? So it's easy to
kind of cool.
It's easy to improvise.
See, I'm one costume. Like I think I've worn a Superman T-shirt under my suit for years, and that's just been my shirt.
That's it.
I've been Clark Kent for maybe 15 Halloweens in a row.
You wear the glasses?
Yeah, I have the glasses and a suit, and it's fine.
That's it, yeah. Hey, keeping it simple.
Keep it real. Speaking of keeping it real, guess where I just was?
I heard you were in Merca.
I was in Merca. I was fortunate to be at the San Francisco World Spirits Competitions and
Awards.
Tell us
more.
It's very, very cool. It's very different. So we were there with High Seas Distillery. We were very lucky to win some gold medals for our whiskey, some double gold for our barrel-aged gin. We got some really cool stuff, but it was amazing to see what's going on in the States, especially coming here from China after living here so long and kind of being out of touch. The San Francisco World Spirits Award reminded me a lot of the drink awards that we do here in Shanghai. To be honest with you, a smaller scale. The China awards are much bigger, which was really interesting to see. But we had one day was a whole exhibition booth for just like kind of Whiskey L would be here. So we had our booth set up with gins. We had a bunch of interesting stuff, but it was very cool because we were one of the only gins. There was a few other gin brands, a few other whiskey brands, but everybody and their mom is into the tequila game now in the States. It's cray cray.
I think it's been a while, though, that tequila is like the biggest category in the U.S.
Massive. And it's massive to the point where, like, next to our booth was LeBron James had a booth. And those guys were so much fun. LeBron didn't make it. I think he said he was sick that day. So LeBron didn't show up, but his two people that worked for him did. And they were so amazing. And then right across from us, Matthew McConaughey had a booth, who also somehow didn't make this awards thing.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's so, like, they only throw money at it.
Yeah. But their faces are posted on everything. LeBron's tequila is called Los Lobos. Matthew McConaughey, I didn't get to try his, but it was like, all right, all right, all right. That's what I'm guessing the flavor is. But then, like, there were so many other interesting booths, and, like, it was really fun to see the American style of egregious loud bartenders. And we got to go to a few different events. The big one, obviously, was the dinner ceremony. And that was really interesting. It was very much a who's who in an old boys and girls network from San Francisco. I did get to see a professional person I've always wanted to meet was Camper English.
Okay, yeah, you saw.
Camper English, I was so excited. I actually followed him to a bathroom. And I was like, nope, I'm a stalker.
Yeah, that's weird. Then he comes out to wash your hands and like, hey.
Yeah, I literally was about to do that. I was like, tell me about clear ice cubes. So Camper English, if you don't know who it is, he's kind of the guy that perfected the art of making ice clear ice for bars and restaurants. And he's written a bunch of books. He's got a great blog. He's just very, like, if you're into F&B and beverages in particular, he's a very cool who's who. But it was everybody I've read about and met. So many star tenders were there. So it was super cool to see them and talk to them and get different ideas and also just influence them a little bit and show them this is what we do in China, because they'd never really met anybody from China.
Yeah, it's not. I think in the U.S. it's not that common to meet people that are not from China, I guess. There's a lot of Chinese-American population, but people that are actively working in the Chinese market, in the bar world, yes.
Yeah, and the Chinese scene is so small. It was very cool to see people come up to us, go, I'm from Shanghai. Oh, we're in Shanghai. Well, I was born there. I moved away. Or I'm from this area, or I'm from that area. It's very, very interesting. And, you know, the reception, the city was nice. When we were in San Francisco, there was a super massive heat wave. So it was about 100 degrees, 40 every day. And San Francisco, like, we were at the Intercontinental Hotel. And thank God that's a beautiful hotel and it's got air conditioning. But every place you'd walk around, you're just melting. And so that was not... San Francisco's a walkable city, except for...
It's usually not a hot city at all, so...
It's about 16 to, like, 20, 22 all year.
That's the weather here right now.
Yeah. San Francisco is perfect weather. So 16 to 22 being 75 to maybe, like, 78. It's a perfect temperature. That's why nobody has air conditioners or heaters. It's just nice.
Yeah, you can just leave your window open also. Not a lot of mosquitoes there for some reason. Yeah. Dry, yeah.
It's on the bay. It's really easy. So, beautiful city. We did that. I also was fortunate enough to go to New Mexico, see some family. A lot of tequila drinking, but also I was really surprised. I was getting really good scotches for pennies on the dollar. I was getting a Green Spot, which is my favorite expression of Irish whiskey, and it was $70, which compared to what you buy it for China, that's nothing. There, again, a lot of tequilas, but that's to be expected. Kendall Jenner's tequila, we drank a lot. The 801 or whatever it's called, it was everywhere. And it was actually, once you get used to it, it's pretty good.
Once you get used to it. Everyone wants to hear that. Once you get used to it, it's okay.
Kendall Jenner wants to sponsor our podcast, you know, I'm okay. It's very good.
Hey, once we get used to it, it's great.
Yeah. And then also we went up to Pagosa Springs, Colorado, where everybody seemed to be named Kevin. And we drank a lot of Coors Light.
And yeah.
We don't have Coors Light or light beers here, but Coors Light has these cool cans.
Well, I'll disagree. We don't put the name light, but yeah. Blue Girl and Tsingtao, those are all light beers.
No,
yeah.
Coors Light, I mean, if you remember this, it has this can that turns blue with the color of the Rockies if it's cold enough.
Oh, that's cool.
It's
I know
so
that.
Much fun because you're like, you keep it cold, but if the Rockies are white, it's not, it's room temperature.
I like Miller High Life.
Yeah, it's champagne.
The champagne of beers, and I miss it. Yeah, I miss the carbonation and that taste. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, we bought so many beers. We had an Airbnb with a bunch of friends. We were there for my mother's birthday. And we had six of our friends. And I think we're all, you know, grown-ups, over 35. But we packed this house like we were in a college frat party.
Nice.
Like, we literally went to Sam's Club and Costco. And I think we bought, like, 400 bottles of beer, like, six or seven bottles of Fernet. Like, a lot of, like, And stupid, we didn't finish that in 4 days, you know, but your eyes get bigger than your head.
Yeah, because you're going like, hey, it's a party.
Or as you like to say.
Yeah, I know, that's why I'm,
it's a party.
I'm making voices because he's going to make fun of me.
No, I'm not making fun.
I am in current recovery. I'm trying to say the word party less. Never being so self-conscious of a word I say than in this podcast.
But I mean, what was really interesting to me was obviously the difference in sizes of our bottles. Like in the U.S., almost everything is 1 liter. So, and here it's all 750 ml. So 1,000 ml versus 750 ml. So it was kind of...
Wait, no, 750. The reason why we have 750 is because it's the American size. Because it's ounces. Yeah.
The U.S. is 1 liters.
Because Europe is 700 ml.
Oh, I mean, here it's a mix of 700, 750s.
I'm going to Google it.
Yeah, you're going to recover from correcting me pretty quickly, too. But yeah, no, a lot more stuff. And I got to drink almost my favorite whiskey every day, which is another favorite Irish whiskey, which is the Redbreast 12-year. Fantastic Irish whiskey. And I think it's available in Shanghai. It was about $20 a glass, which is about roughly 140 RMB a glass on the rock. So it's not the end of the world, but then you have to leave a tip.
Yeah, that's always the...
Tipping is fun.
It's 20% now, right?
Yeah, well, that's up to you. You could leave what you want, but generally we leave about 20% no matter what. But every place I went to, I went with F&B friends. And so like everything we're paying, they knew somebody. So we're paying for the discount they gave us.
I am going to say something controversial. I have some weird feelings about tipping. Because, I mean, not tipping. I always tip and I tip when I go to friends' places. Not here in China so much because of lack of cash here, right? It's all digital and it doesn't really has a place for you to like add a tip like a credit card in the U.S. But when you travel to other countries, like I always leave the change, always leave a tip. But the little turn of the screen on how much you like to tip, like 10, 15, 20% always bothers me because I would much rather be either completely up to me how much I'm putting or be included as a service charge because I almost don't know how much I'm going to have to spend until the end. Because when you're drinking, you're not doing that type of math, right?
Also, there's tax.
Yeah.
There's also tax in the States.
Well, a lot of places include the tax on the price.
No, in the States, it'll be the price says $20, but you're paying 21 something.
Yeah, but I feel like by memory, in California, yes, they add after, but I feel like in New York, a lot of places include the tax.
Well, I wasn't in New York this year.
I know. I'm just giving you an example. But like, I feel other places do too. That one is more because it's a fixed amount anyway. So that one...
I feel like you're attacking me for just the tip.
No, but I'm saying like, I find it a little annoying because again, like you kind of get surprised with the bill at the end because you...
Yeah, it is a surprise.
You kind of like, okay, I'm going to spend, let's say, a couple $100s and then you kind of calculate. I'm like, oh, I'm around that number. And then you have to add the tip and you end up being another like $30 on top or something, right? And it's like, damn. And I almost feel like if, let's say that that's what you just budget yourself on and you end up leaving a 15% or a 10% tip, people complain. Like, I have had, they don't complain, like, they don't say anything, but they give you looks. He's like, you were the bad tipper, and suddenly you were a bad person. Like, the way people suddenly judge you, like, you were some cheap asshole, is so quick. And obviously, if I go to a full service restaurant, I'm sitting down or a cocktail bar, I'm expecting that. But sometimes you're, like, on a self-serve fast food restaurant. And I'm sorry, I don't want to leave 20% tip when I had to pick up my own tray. I had to clean my own table.
You don't leave a tip.
I had to
I mean, I didn't go to any bars or high-end restaurants that had a screen. Like, everybody gave me a piece of paper to sign, so I didn't have any of that. I will say I went to, I was thinking about you, and I think I told you this off mic. On the day of our big exhibition day, we went to Fogo de Chão.
Yeah, Fogo de Chão.
Can you pronounce it better for me?
Fogo de Chão.
Chão. It's this Brazilian all-you-can-eat place. And because it was in San Francisco, it was about $80 U.S. a person. And I got drinks for $10 a person. So it was a $10 a drink. So, I mean, it was expensive, but it was good. It was a pro tip before any events is have a filling massive meal.
Oh, it's a lot of meat. Yeah, you can eat all, you can eat a, like,
five. I ate a cow.
You eat a cow.
But yeah, it was very exhausting. Like, it took me about a week to recover, especially with the jet lag. And then all the copious amount of drinking we were doing. Because especially at the end of the exhibition, people were just giving you bottles. Like, we can't take it home. I'm like, we can't take it home.
Classic exhibition thing. You go to BCB and all that. By the last day, people are like, at the last, like, 3 hours of the last day, people are just giving out, like, whatever. They're just like, just take it.
Take it, yeah. Because they can't take it back with them, especially if it's open bottles.
To be fair, I think a lot of them can, but they're just so burned out by the event. Yeah. So they're like, I don't want to. I want to take as little as possible. Just take it. And they start doing flash sales on the closed bottles. They're like, this bottle, I'll sell you for like $10. Just like, just take it from me. Like, okay.
No, I mean, that kind of stuff is fun. But like, yeah, it took me about a week to recover. Like jet lag, I just started getting over. But like, it's, yeah, it's a move to go to the States for a little bit. You know, I was there for 21 days. Really fun. It was really, it's just speaking about clothing. I went to J. Crew because it's classic. And I was buying shirts that were my size. Like, I bought an L, and it was a sweater, and I was like, oh my God, this fits.
I was so weird out, too, because I have the hardest time buying pants, buying jeans here in China, because I'm very tall. And if you get, this is where the conundrum comes to. For some reason, they feel like the taller you are, the bigger your waist is as well.
Oh, gotcha.
So every time I get something that is the correct length of my legs, it's somehow five sizes above me.
Yeah.
And every time I get something my size, it's short, right? And I'm not a large size. Again, I'm a medium size. And getting pants here is impossible because when I go to any store in American size, right, the biggest pants that you can find for women in most stores is 28. I'm a 30, 31. So like inches, right? So I'm not even like a large size, but I can't get it here. And then suddenly I found American Eagle as an official store here.
Yeah.
And when I went to it and they have all the sizes, I was like, damn, they have everything. Like I found like I'm in the middle of the road of all the other sizes. It's like there's all possible sizes, and I got pants that actually fit me and they're long enough, and I was so shocked. It was almost like, whoa, that's so strange.
Well, if you're just tuning in, welcome to Jeans Talk with Logan and Anna, where we just talk about denim.
Okay, let's go back to FOB then. Halloween, what's your favorite Halloween drinks?
I like the Blue Jean Genie. No, I don't. No, well, back in the day, I remember when this came out, there was this vodka called Blavod that came out. Okay. Do you remember that stuff? Do you ever see it?
I don't.
It was a black vodka, and it was...
Oh, I remember black vodka. Yeah.
It was super cool. I mean, it wasn't cool. It was a cool gimmick. I mean, fair enough, respect. But their whole thing was you do a... It was under the black light. It would glow. It was super cool, and you would make reverse, like, vodka tonic, because tonic also glows under a black light. And so basically, you do, like, a Buscafé, like, layered vodka tonic backwards. And it was super cool, and that was a fun, like, gimmicky, easy drink. And then you'd make, like, these black jello, like, clear jello drinks of black when you had different flavors, which was fun, without using charcoal.
Do you remember, I think it was called Brain Hemorrhage?
Oh, the cocktail, the shot, right?
Yeah, I think you put,
Grand Marnier, layered with the top of Bacardi 151, and then drop Bailey's through a straw? That's the one we were doing.
No, it's a little different. Well, I think that's one, but I think the other one is...
It has a different name that I'm not going to say on the show, though.
Okay, so the other one is you put, triple sec, then you put Bailey's, and then you get grenadine, and you put some shots of grenadine.
Yes, that's the brand. Okay,
because the grenadine, like, will pull it down, so it'll look like some of the strings of, like...
Yeah.
Like, brain matter. So I always remember that, because it's... Okay, let's talk about gross Halloween shots. I don't think it's great, but there's something about the gimmick. You know how there's some stupid gimmicks that just work for you?
Yeah.
I'm just like, that works for me. And I'm embarrassed to say this because it's such a shitty drink. And it's, I think I had it for the first time. I was maybe like 19, 18. And it stays with me. And I haven't had it in years. Actually, we should just have it just for the fun of it. Have you had a cement mixer?
Yes.
That's... I like the flavor. I like what it turns into.
You do. Well.
I mean, I like the gimmick. So basically, a cement mixer, because you get a shot of Bailey's, and then another shot, you use like a lime cordial, or you can use lime juice, but it's nicer with a cordial, has a little sugar, like a little citric acid, right? You basically put the Bailey's in your mouth, and then right away, you put the cordial in your mouth, and then you stir it around, and basically it starts to curdle, so it becomes like a solid. But it tastes like a cheesecake almost, or like a key lime pie of sorts. So if you can get past the idea of the concept of like the cement.
So many things I'm not saying right now. This is the cleanest podcast in the world.
I know, but it's so nice. It's like key lime pie. And I remember I had it for the first time on Halloween and the gimmick worked. I was just like, whoa. And it's so simple. But for me, I was like, this is smart. This is,
this is the way.
This is the way, yeah.
Well, I remember like the first, when I worked at Muse on the Bund, we were thinking about Halloween stuff and we got, somebody's like, oh, let's do needles, the syringes full of.
Yeah, with the jellos.
Yeah, which is super fun, but they bought like 500 or 600, like the larger gauge syringes. And in the US, when we bought them, they don't come with the needle tip. And here they came full on medical supply.
Just from Taobao. Yeah.
And like, I wasn't like, I remember like, the needles weren't attached, you know, you just throw the needles away, but it was like bag with one, bag with the other. And like, it was fun filling them up, but I remember we did it again at Logan's Punch and I bought the same stuff, but these ones came with needles attached. Like, it was all sealed and everything. And I remember trying to take the needle off one, and it just went right through this, the metal part went right through my thumb. I was talking to somebody, it went right through my thumb and like the meat. And I was like skewered myself. I was like, oh my God, these are so sharp.
Yeah, the needles.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, those really big gauge needles. So in Hong Kong, you used to get those on the street, as in like they just sell just jello shots.
You'd buy them. I totally forgot.
Yeah, but it's horrible for jello shots because the jello is so hard to squeeze out of it. It's better for like regular shots because that's just too much, right? You have to make a really soft jello to be worth it. But those are massive needles. And I was just always thinking, what do they use as needles for? They use for like ear cleaning, they put water and all that, but that's about it, right?
I'd imagine, yeah.
Until...
No, catheter bags probably.
I don't know, but until I... This is a really side story.
In the jeans?
Yeah. I rescued a street cat once, like a street little kitten, and it was super cute. It was tiny. I think like a month old less, like a few weeks old.
Oh, and you're feeding it with a syringe?
No, it bit me, like playing. Like,
so you put it down with the needle?
No, nothing to do with the cat. When it bit me, my hands started swelling really bad. So I went to the hospital. I got cat scratch disease. Oh, wow. Yeah, so it's a real thing, by the way.
Scratch fever?
Yeah, and it's a real thing. I always thought, people say online that it's a myth, that it's not a real thing. It is. And by the way, it's not only the scratch, it comes out of their bites too. It's basically they have the infection from their mothers, right? So they had to shoot me with some antibiotics or something. And then I'm sitting there and the guy come with a needle like that, with a syringe like that. It was a massive. I never had a shot so big.
Yeah.
And they're giving me the shot like on your, like, you know, the top part of your butt here, the muffin top where they put like the...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they're giving me the syringe, and suddenly I start passing out, and I pass out. But then the doctor told me it's because I think I was so scared of the size of the syringe that I held my breath the whole time and then I passed out.
Did you get, what do they call it, when they put it in your spine?
No. Like on your butt. But
was it frozen that they gave you, the shot?
No, why?
Sometimes they give you frozen, what's the, something that's a pill that people are allergic to sometimes. The guy that made it, penicillin. They gave you frozen penicillin shots. Some people have gotten those.
Okay, could be. I don't know. I just know the syringe was that big and it was some sort of antibiotic, but it was a lot. And it was here on the muscle on top of like your butt, right? But I just remember like passing out, and it's because I held my breath. So, hey, don't breathe. Okay.
So back from cat talk. I mean, another exciting round of cat talk.
Yeah, hey.
So do you remember my birthday party we had a couple weeks ago?
Yes.
That was the last time I saw you before... after we recorded the podcast, we did a bunch of jello shots. And I think we talked about them on the pod.
They were so boozy.
Yeah. I didn't sell a jello shot. We just were giving them out. That was a lot of jello.
And you had a pinata full of
jello. Yeah, pinata full of jello shots. And that went over well, actually. Like, I was my soberest birthday I've had as a grown up.
Yeah, you were very sober, very well behaved.
Yeah, I left at like 9 p.m. It was, I left at like a later time, a real time.
You left at like 11, yeah.
Yeah. I had a cigar. I had a bunch of whiskey with some friends. It was a good time.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Just wanted to give everybody a follow-up on the birthday.
Good birthday. I was here to the end. It was good.
Also, guys, we want to do a little housekeeping now that we're near the end of the podcast. So I had a couple of people message me about some of the podcasts, like the romance episode, had a metronome. I thought we fixed it, but if we didn't, we apologize and I'll re-upload them. But if you ever hear like any kind of audio issues that, you know, like a metronome or a blender or anything like that, send me a message, because a lot of people know how to contact me, and we'll get it fixed, because we are just a mom-pa operation of Logan and Anna and a MacBook. So yeah, we could always fix little things like that. Our recording schedule should be back to normal with releases on Saturdays at 3 p.m. We might have a double feature with the one we missed that we recorded on my phone, and then we'll have this episode coming out this Saturday the 26th. And then we'll have follow-up episodes within a reasonable time frame. So, guys, keep giving us your love, your shout-outs, your suggestions. And Anna and I are going to say peace and cheers. We've got a quiz to go to.
Cheers.
And thanks for listening to China on the Rocks.
Bye-bye. And like and subscribe.